What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Blurt It Out. New One Piece chapter has dropped. One Piece chapter 1111 is out. We're going to talk about that today. We're also going to be talking about some changes I got coming up for the channels for both Tyrant King Kuma and Blurt It Out. We got some cool stuff coming up ahead. And we're also going to be talking about Final Fantasy VII. Of course, before we get into anything, we got to first hear from the sponsors. You are now listening to the Blurt Out Podcast, which is available on your favorite podcast websites like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. Check the link in the description or search Blurt Out wherever you podcast, and you will find greatness. Episodes are also uploaded on my main YouTube channel at Tyrant King Kuma and on the official podcast YouTube channel at Blurt Out Podcast. And as usual, if you have not caught up to the most recent chapters, episodes, or stories, please know that there will be spoilers ahead.
Oops! Spoilers!
Now, it's important to note that before we jump into the chapter itself, we are about to be going on a 3-week break. So basically, we're not going to have One Piece for about a month. Oda has decided to take this time to basically focus on his health, you know, make sure he's got the right amount of time for himself. Because we know mangakas, they have an ungodly schedule when it comes to how they churn out chapters. And with the most recent passing of Toriyama, there's just a lot of concern for the rest of mangakas. So Oda himself is taking a break, not only to focus on his health, but also to just think about the end of the series. He said he really wants to focus on the One Piece. And I think what he's saying is he really wants to make sure the final part of the story is the way he wants it. And we had a break before where Oda wanted to take some time away from everything at the end of Wano, where we jumped into Egghead, to kind of just get a grasp on things. And I think that's what this is here. Oda really wants to make sure that the final saga, the ending of One Piece, is doing what it needs to do. I am always fine when Oda takes breaks. I love the fact that he takes time for himself. I think he needs to do it more often. And of course, this just gives us time to talk, theory craft, all kinds of stuff, agenda. Like, these 3 weeks are going to be pretty fun. But let's get to the chapter. Instead of a cover story, we have a color spread, and it's of the Straw Hats, Vegapunk, Bonnie, and Kuma. Kuma is in a color spread. I can't tell you how long it's been since Kuma's been in the color spread. Honestly, it's probably, I would say, either when they did all the Shichibukai, or when they did the like 4-piece color spread and they had basically pretty much all the characters in there. I think he might have been in that one. I'm pretty sure he was in that one actually, but it's been a while. And I mean, it's such a fun color spread. Love to see it. I think it's fantastic. The chapter kicks off with Mars. It looks like actually breaking through the domes. I know last week I was unsure whether he actually made it in or not, but at this point he's inside and he's communicating with everyone that's inside the dome. Like, he spots Jinbei, he spots Lucci. Basically, he's got free reign in here. Now, Jinbei makes a comment saying that the haki coming from Mars is unreal. And based on some feats later on, it would appear that not only do the Gorosei have insane haki, they might have conqueror's haki. They might have insane conqueror's haki, which is something that's been contested for a while now. You know, who all has conqueror's haki? And for the most part, it's just been pirates. It's been, you know, the top of the top pirates. We, of course, have the vivid card of Luffy and Goku having it, but, you know, not a lot of people on the World Government Marine side show Conqueror's haki. So this is a big reveal. Jinbei's basically like, we gotta get out of here. There's too much going on. And Zoro mentions that Lucci is not done yet. And this is what I figured was gonna happen. I felt like it was not a one-shot. I was like, there's no way Lucci is just down now. And we didn't even see it. So I was like, he's definitely going to be still standing. And he is. Now, at this point, I think he's more or less, he's on his fumes. Like, he's not going to be able to carry out a fight and really do much to Zoro. Zoro would have probably got 2-3 more shots in and Lucci would have been done. But the fact is, he didn't get dropped. He's still standing. Now, before Zoro really gets back into the fight, Jim is like, nope, we got to go. Let's roll. And he basically uses Fishman Cry to create some distance. It's kind of like when Franky uses Coop to Burst, basically just an air cannon just to put distance between people. doesn't really do anything, just spaces him out. And this is when Mars comes in and basically asks Lucci a bunch of questions. Well, actually, no, doesn't ask Lucci a bunch of questions. He asks Lucci one question, and then Lucci just gives him all the answers. He tells him where York is. He tells him where all the Seraphim, the CP0 agents are. Basically, he just gives the entire rundown of what's going on in Egghead. And Mars is like, bet. That's all I need. Which, honestly, I was somewhat worried for a second because I thought Mars was going to look at Lucci like, all right, you failed. Let me just go ahead and erase you right here. He was like, nah, good work. You get a gold star. Lucci does make a request that Mars try and spare Kaku because Kaku is basically where everyone else is. And Mars is like, about that. We don't really care about you guys. So if he dies, he dies. Now, he does say that might not be possible. So it's not like he's completely opposed to trying to save Kaku, but he's just like, it's not a priority. We still consider y'all insects. So if he gets squashed, he gets squashed. And then we cover Luffy, who is still in Gear 5. I'm honestly surprised. Like, I don't have an exact counter of how long he's been in Gear 5, but he's still in it. And he doesn't seem to be showing any signs of like wear or depletion of energy. Can't tell this is because he has a better hold on it, if it's just a different set. Because I mean, he got the food recharge, but how far does that go? But yeah, they reunite. Dory, Bruggy, and Luffy are just talking about, you know, having seen each other in 2 years. They mention that Luffy looks like their sun god, and Luffy, of course, has no idea what they're talking about. And as they're talking, Mercury and Saturn are basically looking on like, all right, we got giants now. This just changed the game up a little bit. We gotta do something about that. And this is kind of, it's leading to what I was expecting it to happen. Like, Luffy says, we're not fighting these people, we gotta run away. And that's what I said was gonna happen pretty much, was like, there's no way they're actually having a full-on fight. The giants have to help Luffy get away. That's what this is. This is an escape at this point. And we get a detailed map of where everyone is. And the map basically explains where we're trying to go to get up out of here. Basically, Bonnie and Frankie are already at the ship, Sanji and Megapunk on their way, then Luffy's all the way at the back. Now, I mean, Usopp are still in the stratum, they're still in the dome with the Sunny. And they're trying to get the Sunny to go down. So basically, the Sunny is trying to end up where the Elbaf ship is. And the giants blow the horn, basically like, everybody retreat. We got what we came here for, we need to get up out of here. So now we're hitting a Marine first situation where basically they got Ace and now they have to get out. And based on last time, that didn't work so well. So we'll see how it goes this time. Now, Mercury manages to use a Conqueror's Haki Roar, which is, it looks more devastating than it is. Like, it's kind of, it's pushing things, it's destroying buildings, but like Dory, Broggy block it, Luffy unaffected by it. Basically, all it does is knock out fodder. And then he launches into an attack, which turns his tusks into swords. Now, this reminds me a lot of Funkfried. Funkfried could turn his trunk into a sword. Basically, he was a sword that ate the elephant fruit. I'm wondering if there is some kind of, like, a mixture of fruits. Like, I wonder if they're an amalgamation of different kinds of devil fruits, since they were working on, like, taking out particular essences of fruits and putting them in people. I wonder if they've experimented on themselves to do that. Or even more so, like, what if their animal form isn't a fruit? They actually have powers that tie into their animal form. Like, he's a boar based on whatever creature he is, but then he ate like baby five's fruit, so he can turn his body into weapons, something like that. But they block his trunk, push him back, and Luffy makes the comment again that they block his trunk, push him back. So Saturn lines up some, like, it looks like poison blobs. Apparently they're exploding poison blobs. But Luffy grabs a tree, basically spindles it down with his teeth. Like, he bites it almost like a cob of corn, turns it into a bat, paints it, puts his number on it, which is 56, which is Gomu. And that's like his destined, That's Luffy's number, pretty much. He creates it, like, he creates an entire baseball theme for this. And he ends up knocking all the pellets back effortlessly. They explode on impact, and Luffy makes the comment that no matter what he does, these people don't die. Which goes back to, I think, 2 chapters ago, where he was like, no matter what I'm doing, you guys aren't going down, so I just gotta get rid of you. And that's when he turned him into pizza. And we actually see Jupiter reforming, as well as seeing Mercury and Saturn kind of in the background. So we see them all coming back. I know Jupiter got cut up a little while ago, so he's probably back to his normal form now. And Dory Breaker is like, all right, well, we out of here. We ain't got time to deal with that. Now, as Bonnie and her team approach the Elbaf ship, we have the Vice Admirals standing waiting. I'm somewhat confused by that, because where are all the giant pirates? Like, did they all leave the ship? I thought some of them would have stayed back. But apparently the ship's unattended because these Vice Admirals are just here waiting. Because I figured the giants would have wiped them out. And then we have Mars actually making it to York. And she has no idea who this is. She just knows he's asking questions, so she's freaking out. He's trying to get to the room that's being displayed on the monitor. And we get a cut to Kizaru too. And Kizaru is just chilling on the ship. Like, ever since Luffy threw him, he's been laying down. And he says the crew around him asked him to heal him. And he says his wounds run deep and he just wants to rest. So this is obviously talking about the mental hurdles he's been going through. Like, he's obviously not really like hurt. He's just talking about all the stuff he's had to go through while being on Egghead. It's taking a toll on him. He just wants to stop doing stuff. And he's covering his eyes, so I'm guessing that he might be starting to tear up, because he was mentioning that he should have brought, you know, darker sunglasses, things like that, previously. So this is probably just too much at this point. And last but not least, we get the Iron Giant moving. And this thing is huge. Like, it's dwarfing the tree line of the main island. And it's just like walking through all the fire and everything from the Buster Call and stuff. And it's talking about, forgive me, Joy Boy. Now, this immediately makes me think of Joy Boy's apology in Fishman Island. The biggest difference here is that it's not a message from Joy Boy, it's to Joy Boy. What I can guess is that it has something to do with not being able to carry out a mission in Mirrorjoy, because we know this giant attacked the Celestials at some point. I'm assuming it failed to achieve its final goal when it attacked, and that's what it's apologizing for. Now that it's reactivated and it's mentioning Joy Boy, my guess is that it's going to move towards Luffy following the drum's liberation. What it's going to do when it gets there, I have no idea. Maybe Luffy can command it to do something. Maybe this will be the escape. It's like, instead of the giants sacrificing themselves, we get this giant robot sacrificing itself so everyone else can escape. But that's the whole chapter. A lot of good stuff here. We've got 6 minutes until the message goes out, so I'm guessing, I think last time I said 2-3 chapters, so I think that's still pretty accurate for how long it's going to take for us to get to that final message. Unfortunately, with the 3-week break, that means it's going to be probably 2 months before we know what the message is. But like I said earlier, this gives us time to speculate. And I'm probably going to do a video on, you know, just all the things that have happened on Egghead so far. I got a few videos planned, actually, to segue into the next topic. While we're on break, I plan on doing, at the very least, I'm going to try and do some reaction videos to anime. I'm going to try and do some theory videos based on Egghead, what's going on so far. I would like to do a top 30 with a few people. I'm going to see if I can get that arranged as well. All those coming in here soon. I'm going to do a few redesign things. I think I'm going to try and make the podcast videos for the podcast channel a bit more interactive as far as the video goes, because on the Tyrant King Kuma channel is just audio, which is kind of how I want that to be. I want the main stuff to be on the podcast channel so I can get some traction. So I might do a little bit more to make those videos look nicer. Like just an overhaul on a few things here. As far as seasonals, with a lot of them wrapping up, I'm going to try and do reactions on the finales and then cover some topics there. And once I do the reactions and everything, I'll still do probably I'll still run them down on the podcast, but they'll be after I post the reactions. But the main topic outside of the chapter I want to talk about was Final Fantasy VII Remake. I finally finished it. I've been talking a while now about how I was getting to the end, finally got there. And that was a fun time. It feels a lot like it did when I finished Bioshock Infinite, in which I didn't fully understand the ending, but I would have to go back and kind of do like a deep dive into what it's like. To my understanding, it looks like we stepped into an alternate version of our reality, because we're chasing Sephiroth. Because once we cross over to the other side, we get a panel of Biggs in bed, bandaged up. And like, I would imagine this is Biggs in a separate universe where he doesn't die, because I feel like he's definitely dead in the one we were in. But I mean, the story was engaging the entire time. I didn't really feel like even being confused at the end, I didn't feel like, you know, I didn't like the story or anything. Yeah, the side quests were fun. They weren't overwhelming. It's not like I had to do a million of them. The combat, clean, slick. I like it. The characters, love it. I said before, it has such a good RPG feel to it. Like, I'm not saying it's unpolished, but it plays like an older RPG would, in my opinion. You know, like sometimes there's just dialogue, there's no music in the background, or there's just spaces or pauses. It just has a very nostalgic feel to it that I like. And it's never in a way that takes me out of the game. It's like done just perfectly. Like they almost intentionally made it like the perfect amount. I mean, obviously Tifa's my favorite character. Played her any chance I could. If I was fighting and Tifa was on the team, I was using Tifa. Not only because I think she's the best character, but I think she has the best fighting style. Although I was sleeping on Aerith, because her Ray of Judgment is clean. And the animation for the Ray of Judgment is godly. Like she just floats in the air. She has like an Escanor like float in the air and just points her staff. Like that, I really enjoyed using that move. Cloud was fun. Just, I didn't put as much time into Cloud. And Barret, I barely played Barret. Barret came around to me, like, initially I didn't really like his character. He came around. By the end, he's okay. He's cool. Like, a little too much of a hothead for me. He kind of just, like, he has, like, moments where he just goes off. And is just, like, in his own little righteous world. I kind of, like, bro, chill. Chill out a little bit. I understand, but just chill. I mean, the settings were nice. I really want to play Rebirth, because I believe Rebirth is more of an open world type feel rather than the linear design that Remake has. I really want to play Rebirth just in general, just because I had so much fun with Remake. But I'm not going to get to that quite yet. I still have a backlog of games I need to complete. I still got to finish Tears of the Kingdom. I still have to play Persona 3. And there are games that I started that still haven't finished Forspoken. And as much as people hate that game, I enjoy it, so I will be finishing that at some point. I also want to go back to Cyberpunk. Like, I have a huge list of games to finish too. But that's going to do it for me in this episode. Like I said, keep your eye out for the upcoming videos to both channels. Going to be doing some cool stuff. Hopefully it turns out well, you know. I will catch you on the next one. Peace.